Good afternoon, y'all.
Good.
It is 3 o'clock, and my text would be Psalms 121, verse 5. Before I get there, and as y'all turn to it, I certainly desire an interest in your prayers. And I'll say that, expand on that maybe a minute. I've spent most of my life out where y'all are at, listening to the men that stood up here, until not very long ago. 4 months ago ordained to the gospel ministry. So when a man would stand up here and say, y'all pray for me, I never took it real serious, I'm sorry to say. You know, I'd say, oh Lord, take me, a little quick prayer. We need your prayers, brethren. It's serious. I read after an old preacher of 1700 something, that was talking on this, and he said, even in his study through the week, he could tell if his congregation was praying for him. Isn't that wild? If there's no need in the pews, will God bless the man in the pulpit that weekend? You see what I'm saying? And that their desire to know. So y'all pray for me this afternoon. I trust that, that this will go well. All right. Verse 5, the Lord is thy keeper. That's just kind of it. The Lord is thy keeper. Let's read all of this psalm. Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And I'll add, the Lord is thy keeper. We live in a world that is rapidly changing, and I'm afraid it's not for the better, is it? Unreal. I am so thankful to have some type of foundation in my life of who God is and what he's done for me, who I am, and in understanding who I am and depravity of man, I can understand the world better. But I'm thankful that we have these oases that we can come to, and we're away from the world. We're away from that stuff. I haven't listened to the news all day long, and I'm glad for it. It usually depresses me. You know what I mean? And I'm just awed all the time by how dumb can people be to stand up and lie to you on public TV. They know, they even know that you know they're lying to them. And they still do. How can that, why should I be astonished at that?
Yeah.
It's just depravity. I remember a truck driver that would get home at night, and he said he was always frustrated because all of these idiots driving around him and making, he was just always amazed at how dumb people were driving. And he said, one day he says, well, all of a sudden I realized I shouldn't be amazed at how dumb they are. It's just who we are. So he said, I started looking for the ones that did something good and kind to the other. There's the amazement.
Yes.
You see? Yeah. Yeah. So the Lord is thy keeper. We need a keeper, folks.
Yes.
We need a keeper. I don't know about y'all. I need help. I need help bad. Well, when I read this, the word keeper jumps out at me. Why y'all reckon the word keeper would jump out at me? Most of you probably know me. Those that don't, I'm a beekeeper. It's how I make my living. I've kept bees all of my life. I don't know when I didn't. My father was a beekeeper. So maybe I trust, maybe we'll see as a little bit as we go along this afternoon, that I can take some of my lessons from beekeeping and apply it to the Lord Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit. Maybe. So my first thought is the Lord is thy keeper. Proverbs 27:23. We'll just jump over there quick. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and to look well to thy herds. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock. You know, if you're going to be a beekeeper or a cattleman or any type of, maybe a husbandman of a vineyard, gardening, you need to know well the state of your flocks or the state of your garden. You need to know it well. I immediately think of a brother in South Georgia. I doubt if any of you know him, Brother Clint Miller. He's passed and gone now. But he was a row crop farmer and a cattleman, a cow-calf operation. I don't know what he had, 100, 150 mother calves, cows. And he knew each one by name. Well, I'd ride with him in the pickup. He knew each one how many calves that they had dropped in the last several years. But the thing that impressed me more about him was the state of his cows. They were in perfect shape. Their hair, their coats just glistened. They were so healthy. I thought maybe he did a little too much. They were all kind of robust cows. I mean, they're just fat, you know. What would you say? They live sumptuously in his pasture. All right? I mean, the man's cattle were beautiful. Well, there's a fella that I keep my honeybees on in South Georgia right now, in another county away, and he doesn't. His cows look horrible. Skinniest things. You count every rib. See those big old hip bones sticking out? My son last winter was in that bee yard of his pasture, and he calls me and says, "Dad, one of the cows is down, and it looks bad." And he said, "I think he needs to come out and check it." So I call him. I don't get him. I leave a message. I leave a text with him. I never heard from the man. So I'm down there a few weeks later at my bee yard, and right where that cow went down, there she lay dead. Yeah. And through the course of the next few months while we're working there, another cow of his dies out yonder. Just, you see where we're going? Yeah. Know well the state of thy flocks. We read in this here, it talks about my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I mean, he made heaven and earth. Your keeper made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Never goes to sleep. Always on the job. Oh, I'd like a hired man like that. You know, never rest. He's always on the job.
And don't get tired.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's right. Or discouraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't work all day and I still get discouraged, you know. But anyway, the Lord is thy keeper. He is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite me. He can do it. So let's get back to the other. So when I think about me keeping honeybees and being this or any of these occupations, to me there's three things that you have to have. And I've been teaching people for 20 years, I guess, how to keep honeybees. And I've had all sorts of folks. And I'm not knocking any of them. But it's interesting to me to see how different people's minds work. So the first thing when I'm working with talking to people is I say, you know, if you're going to keep bees, you probably need some kind of a knowledge of beekeeping. I think that'd be probably wise, wouldn't you? That how honeybees, the back parts where they sting and, you know, these different things. Just a knowledge of beekeeping. I think you need to have some kind of ability that you can do it. You know, just down the idea of physical strength. They're heavy boxes, you know, when they fill them full of honey. Just an ability. But then the last one I always tell them is, you've got to have a love of bees also. You've got to have a desire, a love of bees to be able to do this. Well, I've seen people fail in all three categories. I've seen people that I just teach, and it seems like their knowledge gets to a certain level, and they just can't get beyond it, and they're not good beekeepers. And every year, there's a couple people, about the same time of the month, they call me up and say, "Victor, here's my problem." Well, they've called me that same time, you know, and I've tried to teach them. I've even gone to their homes and tried to help them, but their knowledge just is, it's just like they can't get beyond, and they'll never be a good beekeeper because they just somehow don't click. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So then I think about ability. Well, Certainly, you've got to have what it takes. You need equipment. You need trucks. You know, maybe in a commercial sense I'm talking about, extracting equipment. You've got to have a certain resources and able to do these things. And just the ability to go out and physically handle it. If you don't have those abilities, really, there's no need to start. And I've seen people in that category. A fella that's really trying hard to get ahead in beekeeping, and he doesn't have his stuff in place. What he needs to do the work is not there, and he's suffering in his business because he doesn't have the ability to do it because he doesn't have what he needs to do it yet. And then we get over to the one of loving the bees. And if anybody's going into a commercial aspect or maybe a sideline to make money with bees, I always say you've got to have a love of bees. You just have to have it. Obviously, I do it because I love it. And I do it because I make some money at it, you know. That's kind of the thing. But here's the deal. If you hit a bad year, and in agriculture, you always hit bad years. There's years that out in Nebraska, the tornadoes and the hail stones come through, wipe you out. I've seen farmers' crops, corn standing 9 feet high. If you haven't been out in Nebraska, see it, it's, 7 to 9 feet high, laid flat. Mm-hmm. I've just seen it. I've seen grasshoppers come in so bad that all is left is the stalk and the cob of the corn. Eat up all the leaves, eat up all the shucks, eat up all the kernels on the cob, and just leave the cob and the stalk is wiped out. You see what I'm saying? That year is gone. There's no other sense. Well, if you don't have a love for what you're doing and that hits, you're just going to give up. What's the point? A beekeeper I was helping had great ability. He had what it took to get things in place. He had great knowledge of the bees. It just, every time I told him something, click, 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 click. But I thought, in sensing and working with him, his desire was only to make money. It wasn't that he loved bees. This is my machine that's going to get me cash so I can go do what I want to do. You see what I'm saying? Well, after about 6 or 8 years, and I don't know how many, he had several hundred hives of bees. And that winter came when a certain disease got into the hives, and over half his hives died that winter. And he's just like, oh, look at all the money I'm going to have to spend to rebuild all this. And I was expecting this other to move myself forward, and now I just got to rebuild. I'm not going to do this. And he just sold out. I mean, within a week after that happened, he was out of it. So we need knowledge. We need to be a good keeper. Need ability and love. Y'all see where I'm going with that?
Yeah.
The Lord is thy keeper. Does he have knowledge?
He knows.
I don't know where to go in the Bible. I mean, there's so many places. The one I guess I like the best to think about in the Lord is when he's talking about the sparrow. And some are sold for a farthing or two or three, and you can buy what over here. I forget the different numbers and the sparrows. And yet the Lord, one falls to the ground, and the Lord knows it. And he says, are you not of more value than many sparrows? First off, I want to ask you, who the heck is selling sparrows and why? Did y'all ever buy a sparrow? They're in every continent, the most numerous bird on earth. Why would anybody be selling a sparrow? Well, you realize sometimes folks get so hungry that they actually eat sparrows? Isn't that something? That's wild to me. And that you'd buy one for a little tiny, or buy two or three just for another meal. And yet the Lord knows who you are. He has intimate knowledge of in every aspect. The Lord is, what would the word be? Omniscient, right? So, he knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning. How many places in Scripture can you get the Lord knows? He has intimate knowledge of y'all, of every one of his elect children. He has the knowledge. Well, let's go to the next idea, ability. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Yeah.
All power. I've said all power most of my life. I looked that up a while back. I guess I'm saying it wrong. The dictionary I looked in, I don't remember which one, said infinite power. Is all power different than infinite power? I think so. Depends on how you look at all power. You could look at all power to say, well, you know, I guess in mythology, Hercules would have been the strongest man on earth. Or if we go to scriptures, we'd say Samson was the strongest man on earth. And if God just had next notch up, he'd be all powerful, wouldn't he? Over all others. I don't know. I mean, that's a stupid idea maybe, but infinite power, there's no end to it. It's infinite power. What about when you go to the knowledge part? Let's drop back to that. Does he have all knowledge because he knows, you know, 5% more than any other, the next smartest person on earth? No, I think it's infinite knowledge. Does that not blow your mind? What is infinite power? Just explain that to me. What is infinite knowledge? Then we get to the third one I talk about and tell folks you have to have a love for bees. Well, here we're talking about God as the husbandman or God as the keeper. And he has knowledge of his children. He has all the power, all of the ability that it takes. Does he love his children? Well, I don't think I need to go very far in that. Brother Coy covered that for me just beautifully. Thank you, Brother Coy. Appreciate it. He loves his children. He loves them. Where do you go? How deep do you talk about it? Or can you talk? He just loves his children. Greater love hath no man than this, than that one would die for the sinners. Greater love. There is no greater. God is love. Brother Coy went through those verses for us. So here, our keeper, all powerful, all love, and all knowledge of who we are. He's keeping us. He's keeping us. Well, with those thoughts, you know, I think about, man, I work my bees, and I want to be sure that my bees have good housing. I want to be sure that they have plenty of food. I want to be sure that they're healthy. And I do everything I can to that hive of bees to make it thrive. That just really excites me. I want that hive thriving. So when the flowers start blooming, they've got the greatest chance to make honey. That lights me up about as much as talking about Jesus Christ. You know, I want that hive to thrive. Do you think Jesus Christ, God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit wants his children to thrive while they live here? I think so. And do you think that he desires a house for them? Well, here we are, folks. I don't mean the building. That's the church. Yes. It houses us. He's got that for us. What about when we're sick in our souls? Brother Dan talked about the souls this morning. He says down here in one of these last verses, he preserves thy soul. Your keeper preserves your soul. Your keeper preserves. When we're soul sick, is he going to be there to give us the salve? Does the scriptures not talk about things like that? Oh, I think it does. Yes, it does. He's there for that. He's there to see that we have necessary and proper food, the feeding of the gospel to his children. Security. He's doing what? He's just doing it. All right? So you start thinking now. I'm going to ask for audience participation here in just a few moments about the Lord as your keeper. But I just pulled one here, Psalm 17:8. Because I never really, this was, I enjoyed taking a look at this. Psalm 17:8. David is saying, keep me as the apple of thy eye. What does that mean? Keep me. David's asking God, you keep me, Lord, as the apple of thine eye. Did I read it right? Keep me as the apple of the eye. Not thine eye, but the eye. What's that mean? I didn't know. I didn't have a clue. So I go back and try to study and check. Here's what seems to be right. I'm not going to guarantee it. But the pupil in your eye. We go to a great extent to care for that. It's involuntary, really. We don't think about it. How many of you have been driving down the road and some bird comes flying right across the windshield in front of you, and you're driving, you go, whoo, you ever do that? Yeah, you're protecting your eye. It's an innate instinct to care and watch out for our eyes, the instinct of that. And David is saying, God, I want you to keep me as the apple of the eye. In other words, you're going to protect me like I'm protecting my own eyesight. He's keeping us as the apple of his eye. God keeps us as the apple of his eye. There's many other places we could go to, and maybe I will, maybe I won't. There's about 8 minutes left, and I want to ask you all, there's so many different ways God keeps us, that, and I think he does it for this purpose, because different things come to that means more to me, that kind of relates to me. It's like that sparrow thing I said a little bit ago, that aren't you not much more than many sparrows? I don't know why that fascinates me. And I see God's caring for me more than the sparrows, and that I'm more value. But let me ask you all, please, I want to hear from you. Just a quick little shot. What, somebody jump in here first. What makes you really know God's keeping you? In what aspect? As a sheep, you know, as a vine, as what in the scriptures that it teaches?
Promises
life. Yes. What else? Anybody else?
Protects our life.
Pardon?
Protects our life.
Protects our life. Amen.
His interaction with the sinners and the malicious defends those.
That... Amen. Yes, sir.
He
defends us. So what you're saying is, brother, when you're messing up, you know the Lord's defending you and still protecting you.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah.
Feeds and closes.
Feeds and closes. Pardon?
He hears every prayer.
Amen. That is a good one. Hears every prayer. Isn't that something?
Gives us the truth.
Gives us the truth. Amen. Yes. Anything else?
He breaks our heart when we
are. Yeah. In the breaking, it breaks our will, and then we'll follow his will.
Doesn't take us out of trouble, but he goes with us through the trouble.
Amen. Carries us through the trouble.
He reveals things.
Amen. Yeah, we've heard that. He reveals things to us, the good things. Sometimes he reveals the bad things. Have you all ever prayed for God to show you that you're a sinner? More in the aspect that you're totally depraved? Have you ever asked, do you realize that you, total depravity keeps you from seeing total depravity? Your nature doesn't want you to see how bad you are. That's just the way it is. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And for you to see how bad you are, you're going to have to ask God. I don't want to shine a light on me, not bragging a minute about it. I did this once. I'm thankful I did. Yeah, once, yeah. I should do it more, but it was a rough day. It was the blackest day. I just call it Black Saturday. All I could do is cry, because every time I literally like opened my eyes, what Brother Coy's talking about, the mess he was, I just saw mess and mess and mess. And yet through the day, I felt the love of God. I kind of put depravity on one end of a seesaw and the beauty of Jesus Christ on the other end. And to me, for every degree you see your depravity, you see the beauty of Christ one more degree. You see what I'm saying? 2 degrees, 3 degrees. I got tired of seeing my depravity. I put a concrete block over there. Mentally, I did that. I mean, I know. Guess what happened to me on the other end? I quit seeing the beauty of Christ. Yeah, prayed. I talked to a dear sister, and she said she prayed and prayed that God would show her depravity. And she said she went along and nothing really was happening. And then she said one day there was this little just glimpse of how nasty she was. And she said, but just for a moment. And she said, I was a little frustrated with God, because I know there's more, God. You know, why aren't you showing it to me? And she said, the next day there's another glimpse. And the next day another glimpse. And the next glimpse. You know, God showed it to her over a period of about 3 weeks. Of what? Maybe 1 degree. You know, when God showed me that Black Saturday, He didn't show me who I was. I guarantee you. He just showed me a degree or two. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't handle it. And that's what she said. I finally realized that if God showed it all to me at once, I'd have gone off in despair. The Lord is thy keeper. He keeps us. He keeps his flock. Scriptures talk often about the metaphors of his flock. One sheep leaves the sheepfold. And his love for that one sheep is so much because he's a good shepherd. He's a good keeper. And what's he do? He goes, does he scold the sheep? No. The lamb picked it up and put it on his shoulders and brought it home. Isn't that beautiful? What about John 15? It talks about, I am the vine, my Father's the husbandman, and you're the branches. Well, we're talking about, you know, somebody that keeps grapes. How much better? We're the branches. Well, Jesus is the vine. We get all of our sustenance out of Jesus Christ, the vine. And the great thing is, the God, the Father, is the husbandman caring for all the whole place.
Yeah.
And here we are. And if we're not producing, we get clipped back and it hurts. Yes. That doesn't mean we're going to hell. It just means that, whatever you did right then, your experience with God and fruit that may have been born, the chance is missed. But it's clipped off. Why? Why do we clip the branches back on vines every fall? Brother Randall, gardening with Randall. Why do you trim it back, brother?
Have more
fruit. So that next year that new branch comes out and the hope of bearing fruit. You see what I'm saying? God's keeping us. He keeps us as sheep. He keeps us as the grapevines. God is thy keeper. He keeps us. He keeps us while we're asleep because he's not sleeping. I can go on and on. Y'all understand. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, isn't that interesting? Wouldn't it be nice? I don't know how much the sheep realize that man over there is doing such a good job caring for me. I've kept sheep for a while. I guarantee you they didn't think that about me. If those sheep could talk, they're like, wish we was with that other guy. Seriously, I was horrible. I went out about once a week to check on them. Yeah, I did not see to the state of my flocks well, as Solomon said. Didn't do it. You know, one time, one of the sheep, sheeper, if you call somebody a chicken, do you realize you've done them a favor? Yeah. Yeah, far more brilliant than sheep. This one of my sheep fell over and couldn't get up. It's trying to get up. There was because I left it out there about a week, laying on its side, and it had dug a little divot, like a donut, all as it kept trying to get up and up and up, and finally just gave up. Yeah, just fell over. It's all dead. Another sheep backed into some kind of a bramble thorny bush and got stuck in the wool. And you could see it jerked a few times and finally just laid over. I can't get free. Poor me. I'm going to quit. You know, I can't get up. Poor me. Yeah, that's sheep for you. But yet here's the shepherd saying, well, I think I'll watch TV tonight. I'll check the sheep next week. That's kind of who I was. That's not our shepherd. Not a minute. Do y'all ever fall down, can't get up? Y'all ever get stuck in a sticky situation? Don't know how the heck you're going to get out. Excuse my expression. Don't know how it's going to happen. Do y'all wonder where in the world is the food at? Where's the sweet gospel at? Where's a cool drink of water, as David talked about? The Lord is thy keeper. He keeps his sheep. He knows every hair on your head when you combed it this morning and some of them fell out. He kept tally of it. Isn't that wild? Why would God do that? Yeah, it just don't make good sense to me. But he's a good keeper. He keeps us. He loves us. He has infinite power that whatever sticky situation we find ourselves in and can't get up or get pulled loose from, he has the power. And he can just do it. He knows infinite knowledge of our down sittings, our uprisings. He knows us. He knows our sin. He knows us. You don't have to. Don't try to hide it from God. Just confess it. You know. But he still loves us. He loves us. He loves us. Unreal love. Sent his son into this world so he could keep us for eternity in heaven. The Lord is thy keeper.
Amen.